Well, we are getting ready for the 2017 Missions Conference, and boy, that has snuck up on us, has it not? I cannot believe less than a month we're going to be kicking off our annual Missions Conference. Did everyone get a sheet with the missionaries that are coming? Did we have any extras, Dan? Okay, did anyone not get one? And we'll give you one. Raise your hand high if you did not get a sheet with our missionaries that are coming. You get a hold of that. I think that's everyone. We're trusting the Lord to do a great work in our missions conference. Our theme is in the book of Jude. If you would turn there with me, please, the book of Jude. And boy, we just are trusting the Lord to do a special work in our hearts this year that only He can do. And that'd be Jude chapter 1, folks. Jude chapter 1. All right, we'll be there in verse 22. The Bible states very clearly, "And some have compassion, making a difference." That statement right there is filled with so much encouragement in our theme that we are going with this year, and that is asking the Lord to renew us in our compassion. And not just compassion in general, but our compassion for others. And this in the context, of course, it goes in the area of praying with in the context of there's false teachers and false prophets and how to respond to them. And there are some that are being taken captive by their trickeries daily. I mean, I perhaps lived in one of the most blinded areas of the world for 3 years. And they, under false prophets of Islam and others around the world, it's taking place. But there's one thing that will deliver people that are in captivity like that, even in our own land, that are captive by perhaps their religion or whatever the case may be, false teaching, whatever it may be. There's one thing that will help deliver them, folks, and that is compassion. A church that has a heart to reach people. And I'm trusting the Lord this missions conference, and I trust that you'll join me in praying that the Lord would truly renew our compassion for the lost. Go over with me to Mark chapter 12 as well, please. Mark chapter 12. And I'll begin reading in verse number 29. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 says this, "And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.'" And we see here a great challenge to see where our relationship and our heart is towards the Lord and towards our neighbor. And I once heard it said like this, and it just really helps put things in perspective, really. When our relationship with the Lord is right, the relationship with man will be right. In other words, if we're loving the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, as the Word of God says it, it's going to be natural for us to also love mankind as we would love ourselves. And you say, well, what's that have to do with compassion? That one little word there that I'd like for you to see again two words actually in verse 31. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. What are the two words there, church? All right. So, as thyself, I believe that really pictures compassion. It shows a true care for others. Why? Because basically what you're saying is, boy, if I was in their shoes, if I was in Cameroon or Argentina or somewhere in New York City or somewhere even in Georgia, you put the place wherever you want it, but I had not truly heard a clear presentation of the gospel. No one had really ever opened up the Bible and showed me truly what the Bible says about knowing Christ and knowing what the forgiveness of sins meant. Boy, if that was you, wouldn't you want someone to come tell you? If you were happened to grow up in a family that really just was anti-God, but perhaps maybe they were for God, and it was just a religious formality that they went through on Christmas and Easter, like a lot of our families in the South are. That's how I was. I grew up. And you went through the formalities, but boy, wouldn't it be so great for someone to reach you if you were in that place to say, look, it goes way, way deeper than that. It goes way further than that. And I believe that's what we need in our churches today more than anything when it comes to reaching the lost. We need a renewal of compassion, folks. Just a care that's fervent. That is truly passionate about reaching more people for the glory of God. Here are some things that I heard, some quotes on compassion or dealing in the context of compassion that were very challenging. And it says here, a congregation that is not deeply and earnestly involved in the worldwide proclamation of the gospel does not understand the nature of salvation. One church congregation that just grows cold towards the things of missions and reaching people with compassion, you know what that truly comes down to is what this person said. We've really lost the meaning of salvation. We'll be this Sunday honoring our first responders. And boy, that's a group of people that have at least earthly compassion. They do show earthly compassion in the jobs that they have. Maybe not all of them, but I would say the great majority of them have that job because they just have a heart for helping needy people, people in distress. And I'm thankful for that. And I pray that God would help us. Help us have that same spirit in reaching more people. Here's another quote. The Christian is not obedient unless he is doing all in his power to send the gospel to the heathen world. And that's why we have an annual missions conference. Some people say, well, why do y'all do that missions conference? And, you know, I don't know that I can say this is true about this church. I didn't recognize that last year. But, you know, of the conferences that churches have across this nation, evangelical churches, one of the most least attended conferences is the missions conference. And that says a little bit about where our compassion is. We see a lot of compassion here recently, and boy, isn't it an encouragement. You folks showed compassion Sunday night. We nearly took up a $1,500 love offering for the dear people of Houston, Texas. And praise God for that. And our church added some to that. And for that, we are grateful. It's already in the mail. It's on its way to help people in distress, help people that have been destroyed by a flood, their homes, their belongings. And many have died because of that. And we had compassion, and you see a lot of people across this nation having compassion, and I'm thankful for that. And we need to celebrate that. We do. We need to be thankful and rejoice in God's goodness and people's heart being moved. But wouldn't it be great for God to ask the Lord to do that same thing to our hearts, but with a spiritual focus for lost people, remembering that they are in distress in places like the jungles and the deserts of Cameroon.
in the places like New York City where there are skyscrapers, and I like what Brother Wilt said about New York City. He said, if you would take New York City, well, one of the bureaus there, Staten Island, if you would take it and set it out in the middle of the ocean, it would be all of a sudden become an unreached country, an unreached people group. And it's true. There are so many people there that need to be reached, so many nationalities and so many that need to be reached. And then our brother in Argentina, Raleigh and Cassie Hill, they're there tonight. We need to pray for them tonight. They're still there on their survey trip. They went down, I think they're at about 30% of their needed support, and the Lord has allowed them to go for a couple weeks. And then they'll be coming back, and they'll be a part of our missions conference. I like this quote. I don't know who said it, and he said it like this: the best remedy for a sick church is to put it on a missionary diet. I don't know who said it, and I'm not insinuating at all that we're a sick church, but I get the point there. When a church gets weak and feeble, boy, it's time to do a checkup on where our heart is in the area of missions, making sure our heart and our investment and our vision is being poured into the right place. The next couple weeks on Wednesday nights, if the Lord allows me, I'm just going to be giving a challenge or an encouragement at how we as a church can prepare for this year's missions conference. Just coming up here, like I said, in about 3 weeks. And we're going to have some exciting things in store. The missionaries will be coming in Saturday night. They'll be with us the whole week through Wednesday night. All the missionary families, they're not going to just be kind of separated. We're going to have all three families here all 4 nights of our missions conference. Why do I do that? Because I want you folks to get to know these missionaries. And I want these missionaries to get to know you. And they'll come and be a part of our conference. They'll be teaching. We're going to get them involved in the children's program at night. So the kids, the younger ones, will have their little service too, like we would with a children's church. We have several things in store for that. And we'll be looking forward to what God does. But can I just say this, and before we move along, there is no greater way, folks, to prepare for a missions conference than by what we're going to do tonight, and that is pray. That's going to be the foundation, folks, of how effective this missions conference will be. I mean, I love the flags, don't you? Amen. I knew I'd get the first amen from you, Mrs. Stone. Amen, I do. I love the flags, and I love all the things that go into that week and preparing for it and the excitement. But really, we can't make an impact and be truly effective until we're committed to pray. That's why I've given you this paper tonight. I encourage you to take it with you and put it in your Bibles and pray for them daily. Pray for them for the next 3 weeks that the Lord would get them here safely, that He would use this week at our church to really be an encouragement to them. And hey, this is not selfish, but pray. Ask the Lord to make them an encouragement and blessing to us. Spiritually speaking, in the area of missions, I believe the Lord can use each of these families. You notice there, Raleigh and Cassie, their children, Madison, who's 13, Josie, 11, and Judson, 3. Let's pray for them. David and Elizabeth Wilt, there in Staten Island. They got little Hezekiah, 7, and Alethea, is 3, and baby number 3 is due in March 28th. And so we'd be praying for them and their encouragement. And then their family here coming, Daniel and Rachel Needham, going to be missionaries to Cameroon. And so we want to be lifting them up before the Lord and asking God to use them in our church and our lives. And some of you will be hosting them for meals. That will be a blessing. I think I trust you'll be praying about that. But then also, you'll hear more about this in the coming weeks, but we want to be praying about what the Lord would have us give this year. I'll have Brother Mike Jemanski to give a report on how our financial giving has been in the area of missions and our faith promise. But from what I can tell, folks, it has been very good. It has been very faithful, and for that I am rejoicing in the Lord. And so we'll get Brother Mike to get those numbers together to be more specific of how we've done. And folks, we don't want to just maintain, do we? We want to grow. We want to move forward in our support of worldwide missions. I'd love to be able to take on all three of these missionaries that are coming. Brother David's been in Staten Island serving for 3 years. You know why he went? He said he just couldn't stand it anymore. He said he just knew the Lord wanted him there, so he went under-supported. I think they're at about 75% of what they truly need there to be living in the very expensive place. Of course, the missionaries to Argentina and Cameroon, they're both on deputation, up around 30 to 50%, both families. And so I think we can. I believe we will. I'm trusting that God will renew us in such a way that we will do just that. And so please be praying for that. Be praying as what the Lord would put on your heart. And then one of my good friends and mentors that you met, and he's hard to forget once you've met him, but my dear friend and mentor, Pastor John Stevens, will come and be with us that Faith Promise Sunday. And he'll be preaching for us on that day. And so that's the Sunday following our missions conference. And boy, it's going to be a blessed time, and trusting that we'll be prepared for that. Just some ways that you can be praying. Can I just mention a few things? If you want to jot them down, that's fine. But just some ways that you can be praying. Number one, praying that the Lord would, as I've mentioned already, would just simply renew your compassion. Not just for worldwide missions, but for the people of Jackson County. The people in our neighborhoods. That the Lord would renew our compassion for them. Also, some things we can be praying for, that the Lord would help us to give more this year than we've ever done before, that we might be able to take on these dear families and even others that will come in the future and that have come, that would be able to take on more missionaries. Parents, can I encourage you to be praying for your children, that the Lord would get a hold of their hearts and give them a renewed compassion for the lost, and perhaps to answer the call to be a missionary to some foreign land or even into our own country. Young people, can I encourage you to be praying about what the Lord would have you do for worldwide missions? Not just in the area of giving, but being willing to go. These are areas that you can be presenting yourself before the Lord now, saying, Lord, missions conference is coming, and I just want to be used of you. Lord, whether that's short-term trip, whether it's long-term, God, I want to be used of you. I want to make much of my life, and while I can be used for your glory. Again, pray for the missionaries that have been listed here. And also, does anybody not have a bookmark with our missionaries located? Do we have some located in the back, Brother Jeff? Can you look over there and just see if we have any? I don't know if they're back there. I saw a stack of them at one time. Are they still back there? Okay. Does anybody want a bookmark that's got the missionary names on it? We have extras. If you don't want it, okay, here, just raise your hand so we can get you one right up here. And if you don't have one, we'll just get you those. We got plenty. Brother Jeff's got a big stack there. So just past two or three over here. Anybody else need one of these bookmarks with our current missionaries on them? All right. So this is another way you can be praying. Pray that the Lord would just give you a renewed compassion for the missionaries we already have. Now, listen. I'm being a good teacher, if you will. All right. I'm being a nice teacher. You know, nice teachers don't tell you when there's going to be a test. I never liked those teachers. That was mean, I thought. Did anybody else agree with me that's mean? They don't tell you thank you. All right, got a few people agree with me. Other yous are just smarty pants. That's all you are. No, but seriously, during the missions conference, we may have a couple little fun games. Just, you know, we'll keep it lighthearted. But I encourage you to study and know the missionaries that we support. Some things that you could be reviewing is the missionary names and their country, where they're serving. some things that you might even get you some big points in winning would be knowing the names of their children. Some of the names of their children. And so you may want to look over those. You say, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about the names of their children. I can't tell on the bookmark. Well, we got our prayer letters that located downstairs. And we'll make sure we get those nice and updated. But most of them have names of children that are on there. And perhaps some recent events. I may ask something like, what is a recent praise that this missionary family has had? Or what is a recent need that they're experiencing? Because that's what the missionary letters are for. Hundreds and thousands of dollars are spent every month on the mass printing of missionary letters that are sent all across the nation. And they're sent out for a reason, for us to look over them, to see where their needs are and how we can be praying for them. So just a little bit of encouragement there to be looking over those things and be ready. We didn't just want to put you on the spot, but I'm sure you can prepare for that, and I know it'll be a blessing to you.